Welcome to the Todd Martin HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp. This is my co-host, Todd Martin. How you doing, Todd?
I just think they gotta get rid of John Cena. Like, he's really just holding back WWE booking. That's my
top. Todd Martin talk.
I haven't heard him talk in so long.
I just think, like, we should just put all, like, the retarded people in a can, throw them in the ocean.
That might be closer, actually. It's like both. I'm not doing a good job of conveying fat guy voice, though. It's like a smack, like he's got, like, mackerel in his mouth or something.
he's got like cheese just on the rest of his mouth.
Yeah, it's just like, he's always got, like, something up here. And
want to thank everyone who gave me my start at Figure 4 Online, Vinny Testaverde, Dave Meltzer, and Rob McCarron, and that's it. Not the guy who, like, you know, kind of made me internet famous. Well, internet famous, like, who made me famous inside of my bubble.
That's the other thing, he does, like, this weird swallow, like...
Well, no, every time I've seen him on, like, a podcast I want to listen to, I'm like, not this week, not today. Like, he was on, like, what's that? Well, he used to be, like, on the Law, like, Review LA, and it was, like, a Todd Martin episode, like, he was going to review PWG with him, and I was like, nope, these are two things I hate. Nope, no sir. But no, actually, this is not Todd Martin, this is Dan Ford.
How you doing? Good,
Dan. I'm doing good.
How you doing?
We're coming off an exciting championship week. We're heading into the playoffs. We will not be previewing the Bulls this week. We're going to save that for next week because I realize there'll be nothing to talk about. But Dan, let's jump the time machine. Let's jump back to Saturday. What are your thoughts on Championship Saturday?
Well, it was a real bummer to see that Auburn had so many injuries that you know, they got beat by an inferior Georgia team that's going to get the shit kicked out of them in round one of the playoffs. And it's going to be, like, a miserable game to watch, I think.
They're going to get raped by the Oklahoma running back.
Like, Oklahoma's offense is just so far beyond anything they've seen.
Well, but to be fair, has Oklahoma really run into a defense?
I mean,
like Georgia. It's just not as physical. Georgia's not the best defense, but they are physical and tough and fast and, like, have, you know, Southern black men on their team. Like, that tends to help.
I guess, but are they demonstrably better than, like, TCU's defense? I mean, TCU's defense is pretty damn good, and Oklahoma shredded them twice. So,
yeah, because, I mean, like, really the impressive thing about Georgia is their run game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'd like to see if Georgia can keep
it. I don't think Georgia can, though. Like, because the issue with this game is that, like, Georgia can only run the football. I mean, yeah, they were able to throw against Auburn.
Well, they threw well pretty – I will say this. Fromm looked pretty good against Auburn. He threw some good passes when they needed it, got big chunks. They have tall receivers that are physical. I mean, we'll talk about it in, you know, a couple of weeks when we kind of do our preview for the playoffs. But I'm just going to argue there with you, Dan. I think Georgia's got a better chance against Oklahoma than you think. I will say, though, I think Clemson's going to now annihilate Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess that you know, the championship games, Clemson just did dirty things to Miami.
Yeah, that was almost offensive. I think, actually, Clemson's whole team was suspended for rape after that game.
It's bad. It was real, real bad. Like, they just poured scorn upon them. Just, yeah. You are not ready for this. USC won the Pac-12. And then Ohio State blew a chance to make the playoffs because Greg Schiano's shitty defense couldn't hold a big lead and let Wisconsin come back.
Yeah.
So.
And also Oklahoma won.
Yeah.
Pretty decidedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oklahoma's looking good.
Oklahoma's defense has also gotten better as the year's gotten on.
But, Dan, I want to talk about the biggest game from Saturday. That's our boys at Idaho. The Idaho Vandals ride off to the sunset with a win as they beat Georgia State.
Yeah, and they're gonna be playing in a bowl game for their
Wow, like, we'll talk about the more extravaganza next week. I'm really hyped. I'm a big Idaho guy.
I'm hyped for Idaho's going to be in a bowl, and I'm hyped that New Mexico State's going to be in a bowl. Did you see New Mexico State's coach?
That guy's going to be the Bloomin' Onion.
Ryan Nanny's going to be the Bloomin' Onion, yeah. Ryan Nanny of SB Nation.
Dream come true.
But did you see the New Mexico State coach?
No.
They clinched a bowl game. They clinched a 6-6 record. They won on Saturday, and after the game, like they were interviewing him about what it meant that they were going to be going to a bowl game, and he just started weeping, like he was so goddamn happy.
Because New Mexico's all, like that's the Lobos, right? Or New Mexico?
State? No, that's you're thinking of the New Mexico University or the Lobos. New Mexico State. Okay, New Mexico State has not made a bowl since I believe 1953.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride with New Mexico. I'm gonna ride with New Mexico State, Dan. I like the Aggies.
And they also have an uncertain future because the Sun Bowl Sun Belt has kicked them out of the league, and so they don't have any place to go next year. They're gonna be an independent. Ooh. They're trying to get it.
So like Notre Dame. That's how Notre Dame started, Dan. Look where they are now. They're in the Gator Bowl. I don't know what bowl they're.
Yeah, the New Mexico State's trying to get into Conference USA or into Mountain West. Neither league is really all that interested in adding them, so they'll probably be independent.
Maybe New Mexico State needs to start their own conference, Dan. Like, bring back the WAC.
I mean, I'm sure they wish the WAC was still around.
But call it like the White Athletic Conference. Just be like a really racist conference. Like they bring back segregation, and like only white teams can play in it. So it's like them and like BYU and like Harvard.
Harvard would definitely join.
And Liberty.
Yeah, those
Liberty and Paul Jones University.
You mean Bob Jones?
Bob Jones, not Paul Jones.
I actually had a teacher who went to Bob Jones growing up.
It's a really racist school.
Yeah,
right?
Super racist. Like, and also super like
they won't let you like date black women.
They won't let you date, period. Like you're not allowed to be seen in public holding another person's hand.
Yeah. What if you held like another black person? Like you should be like just
Well, I mean, that you just get kicked out. Well, there's no black people in Bob Jones, so it's not that... There are no black people there, so that's not really a problem you're going to run into. They also would not let you have music, like, posters on your wall of music, of bands, or movies. Unless it's...
Not even, like, a Christian band?
You could have a... You couldn't have Creed, because they're not Christian enough. You could have DC Talk.
What about who are like some of those other awful Christian bands?
You could have Michael W. Smith. You probably couldn't have Amy Smith anymore, or what was her name?
Amy.
Ugh.
You know who else started off as a Christian singer?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, yeah. And so is Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to get on that scam. That was big in the 90s, but by the time you came around to the 2000s, that had sort of...
And so everybody just, they gave up Jesus. Because of Bill Clinton. He ruined our morals. And it's where we are, where we're at. Any other thoughts from Saturday, Dan, before we really break down some Christian music later in the pod?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest.
Amy Grant! It was
Saturday.
Amy Grant.
Amy
She's
Grant.
She's married to Vince Neil now. That's why that's why you're not allowed to have her in your church posters anymore, because she left her husband to marry Vince Neil. Not Vince Neil. Wait, which one's the country one? Vince Neil. One of them is the singer of Motley Crue, and the other one is
the
country singer.
Yeah, Vince
Gill. Wow. Vince Gill.
Vince Bryant. Luke Bryant's.
You never seen Vince Gill? He looks like he ate somebody's dad. Like just devoured. Vince Gill.
Who's the really ugly country singer?
Lyle Lovett?
Yes, Lyle Lovett. Does he fuck?
Oh yeah, he fucks good. He fucks real good. He married Julia Roberts for a time.
Julia Roberts is like married to everybody.
Yeah, but you know he fucks. You know he fucks.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot from Saturday because I got very drunk. And I think after Georgia scored that last, I think when Swift scored the last touchdown in the fourth, shortly after the carry-on fumble, I just paid my tab and left. The bartender goes, "So you're leaving?" I go, "Yes." And I think I came home, ate a calzone, and just fell asleep.
Well, that's what we all do when we're depressed. We eat a calzone and pass out.
Pass out and... And I just looked at the little bottle of champagne I bought after the Iron Bowl, and I said, "Damn, maybe next year." That was really it's Brut. It's really nice champagne. It's like $12 at Walgreens. It's really excited to pop it open. I might pop it open after the Chick-fil-A Bowl, though. That's a pretty big game. We'll talk about that.
It's now the Peach Bowl again, sir. Don't be calling it that. Don't be calling it a slave name.
Don't appropriate the Peach Bowl. But anything you remember from Saturday, Dan? Because I don't remember a lot.
I'm kind of, well, it's actually Friday night, but USC beating Stanford. I'm surprised USC didn't get more national playoff talk than they ended up getting. Yeah. Because it's like, well, they got the same record as Ohio State, and they were talked about. Like, why did USC not get any talk?
Because the Pac-12 just sucked so much.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, they are USC.
Maybe, I don't think the Pac-12, like, really sucked if you deep dive, but that's the perception, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, the Pac-12 North was pretty decent. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, like, USC usually gets talked up for shit that they absolutely shouldn't be. So it's kind of, like, weird to me to see them being just, like, completely ignored.
Maybe as USC kind of fallen into like that Notre Dame territory now, or just like you used to be big, but like your grandpa thought you were important, but you're not.
Or you've been back so many times that nobody believes you'll actually ever be back now.
Yes, yeah, so just no one gives a shit about you anymore for USC. Would that kind of be the?
Especially with Chip Kelly being in UCLA, that could be the case.
Kelly's got the hot wife now. When you got nothing, some guy. What's the Peterson? I don't know the name of the coach.
Okay, Peterson is at Washington, sir.
That's right. They had Washington's old coach, though, right?
They did have Sarkisian for a little bit. Then they fired him because he was a drunk.
Yeah, so now he should start drinking again because that Falcons offense looks awful.
Well, you know what Wes says about Mormons, and Sarkisian's probably the only Mormon in Atlanta now, so he's probably just rip-roaring drunk constantly.
I think we got some Mormons here. I'll do a little search.
Yeah, you go do some reconnaissance and tell me how many Mormons you find. Also, you're in Macon, though, and Mormons are allergic to gnats. So
I'm not in Macon. I'm in Atlanta right now.
Look
at that. That's where I live.
You moved on.
I'm from Macon. And I'll tell you this, Dan. I went to a Presbyterian private school, Mormon in my class. So
that happens.
Yep, he did a lot of drugs.
See, when you're in the South, when you're in the South and you've got like an obscure religion, a lot of times you go to a Christian school, you end up with like the really religious dude from like a sect of Christianity that you wouldn't expect to be there. Like
there was like a kid who was like a primitive Baptist, which I didn't know existed.
I still think you just made that term up. So
I'm pretty sure it's like you go into a cave and like, you know, you like drag women by their hair and all that shit. He's actually the primitive Baptist kid's like gay now.
Well, of course he is. Of course he is. You raised somebody in a church called Primitive Baptist and you just got that coming to you. See, my Baptist school, everybody was like, we had like 17 Greek kids because it's like, well, there was just enough Greek kids for them to be a ton of them, but not enough Greek kids for them to open their own school.
To have like a majority or?
Well, it just wasn't like, quite enough Greek families in Winston-Salem for them to build a school that's just for Greeks.
There you go. And that was like his uncle, I thought.
It was his dad.
I haven't seen that special. That was a great stand-up special. Talk about that more. But I'm talking about, we talked about Search Day, and I was trying to segue, got distracted, talking a little religion with you. But I want to move and talk coaching searches. And this was a crazy week.
I don't want to Dave Meltzer you, but before we do that, you want to talk about the playoff? Are the teams in the playoff?
Let's hold that for after our special guest.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
We'll do that coming up. We'll do that for the outro.
Okay.
That little inside baseball. I don't know if that's what they call it.
The descent.
Act three.
What we normally call it is the descent.
Yes. I call it act three.
Okay.
That's what I like to call it. It shows in three acts. But yeah, I want to talk. Let's just continue where we left off. Tennessee. What the fuck, Dan? What's going on here? Is Philip Fulmer the most alpha man ever? That's kind of what I got from this.
Philip Fulmer definitely has a gorilla mindset. But, well, I can't say that because Philip Fulmer gets it not by like barging into somebody's like office. And
no, he's like sneaky though.
You don't turn your back on Phil Fulmer because you might wind up in a body bag.
Yeah.
Like he is a sneaky little sumbitch. Well,
how long do you think Fulmer, let's talk about this. Phil Fulmer becomes the new AD at Tennessee in term, but he's probably going to be there a while, I would assume. But the guy he kind of ousted at Tennessee was what, the right hand man to the AD who got him fired?
Yes, he was an assistant EAD for Mike Hamilton, which makes it more ridiculous that they hired John Curry. Because for people who don't necessarily know this, Tennessee has had to settle like a multi-million dollar sexual harassment lawsuit involving coaches and people in their athletic department. They have had major, major issues in that department over the last couple of years. It is shocking to me that, you know, and I, as a result, their school president and their athletic director stepped down, and that's how they ended up with John Curry. They had to find a new athletic director.
And a woman. That's how they got a woman president.
Yes.
Right?
And so you sort of look at that and you go, why did you hire somebody who was connected to the old athletic director regime? It just seems like so many things that have gone on at Tennessee is just delusionally weird.
But I think the beauty, Dan, was Philly Fulmer, like, kind of getting his revenge for, in my opinion, unfairly ousted.
I don't think it was unfair. I think,
if you look at how they've been since he's been gone.
But part
really
of the reason why is because he had sort of run the ship into the barge. Like, he'd run it aground, and there was a...
And then Lane Kiffin and Derek Dooley just set it on fire.
Lane Kiffin quitting after 1 year. We'll be talking about Oregon later. Oregon now has to, like, this might be you might be looking into your future. You know, it sucks to try recover from losing a coach after 1 year.
Yeah,
but Lane Kiffin leaving after 1 year, and then the fact that they ended up with Derek Dooley, who's just a blithering incompetent.
Just Derek Dooley is like he would be last in a special ed class.
Like Derek,
that's how dumb I think Derek Dooley. Like Derek Dooley would have a C in special needs math.
Derek Dooley could get lost in a bathroom and not be able to find his way out. Like Derek Dooley is a truly stupid man. Like
one of the dumbest. But Dan, I want to rewind though and talk about what we almost had. We can talk about this last week. It kind of broke what him. Thursday last week, that was Mike Leach. It looked like he was going to be the next Tennessee coach. I was very happy about this. You were happy about this. The whole world was happy. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's when Curry was fired or ousted by Fulmer. How disappointed were you to learn that Mike Leach wouldn't kind of be coming to the SEC?
I was super disappointed. I think he would have worked out really well there. But I understand why it happened, because John Curry was apparently not authorized to be doing any more coach searching. And just went and interviewed Mike Leach on his own. Which, I mean, there's a bunch of people out here, like, still standing for John Curry. Particularly Dan Wolken at the USA Today.
They're all cocks, let's just be honest.
And basically every sitting athletic director is like, John Curry's one of the finest athletic directors in the country. This is a disgrace what has happened to him. But, tell you to stay home because they're going to have a meeting with you on Friday, and then you just go and try to interview somebody anyway, no, you have just earned a firing. Like, you deserve the firing. That is direct insubordination. And they're going to fire him with cause. John Curry's a dumbass. He's a dumb, this is something that people need to understand, because there's a bunch of people who are going to say that John Curry got snaked by Phil Fulmer, and we've already seen people putting that out there because that's John Curry's side of it. If John Curry had tried to hire Mike Leach first, if he had gone after Mike Leach first, I mean, obviously he went after Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen took the Florida job. If his backup option had been Mike Leach, he'd still be the athletic director.
No, Dan, I think it really shows how dumb Curry is that he puts out the story that, like, oh, Fulmer stabbed me in the back. Well, that just makes you like a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're supposed to be an AD of one of the biggest programs in college football. Tennessee brings in the second most money in the SEC behind Alabama. And you're supposed to be a badass alpha, you know, and you just get caught by some old fat guy. And like, you're trying to make yourself into be, like, just sympathetic. Fuck that.
And here's
Curry, you're a pussy.
And here's the other thing. There's a reason why so many people in the athletic director world are trying to circle the wagons to defend John Curry. And that's the fact that for the last 15 to 20, maybe even up to 30 years, we have seen the CEOification of the athletic director position, where if you've ever been involved in athletics, basically you're not allowed to be an athletic director anymore. It has to be a CEO type guy. It has to be somebody who can manage the finances of a large department. You know, and all this horseshit. Nobody wants to acknowledge the fact that maybe, just maybe, we don't need CEO types running athletic departments. Because the reality is, most of this shit that they spend money on is just to hide revenue from athletes, so people don't realize how much money that the departments are making. So they just waste it on bullshit, and you could hire anybody to waste money on bullshit. And that you'd be better off.
I don't know why Tennessee didn't come to us to be co-ADs.
Right, and you'd be better off hiring somebody with genuine experience in athletics, because they're going to be more likely to hire good coaches than some dude who needs a search firm to tell him how to wipe his ass in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger issue too, Dan, because when you win, no one really cares about your finances. No one's going to notice. Yeah. Who cares, you know?
And what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the extra? Like, if John Curry helps you bring in an extra $2 million a year, you're a department that's grossing, like, what? Like, nine figures? What the fuck is $2 million going to mean to you? Versus, hey, we actually managed to hire a coach who's going to be good. It is going to make our fans
happy.
It's not going
to lose our program money. So, yeah, we had all that happen, and we still don't have a coach in Tennessee, Dan.
No,
so,
it looks like it looks like it looks like it's going to be Jeremy Pruitt.
Right? Like, I think I know we got at least one Georgia fan listening. You had to be rolling your eyes at that one. Pruitt's not a good coach. I'm going to say it. I thought really Fulmer coming back would have been the thing that got Cutcliffe maybe back.
Yeah, Cutcliffe's apparently just like his heart issues. He just doesn't want to be back in the SEC. Yeah. He's very happy. Like, Duke is sort of like a semi-retirement.
Well, Duke's
home.
Got a nice hospital. Yeah.
Duke does have one of the top cardiac medicine departments in the world. So, I mean, there probably is something to that of like being close by, you know, this top, you know, heart doctors.
But I heard like they were interviewing Kevin Steele. I can't imagine Kevin Steele being.
I mean, Kevin Steele was the head coach at Baylor, and he won, like, 3 games in 5 years, so.
Kevin Steele, also famous for passing out before games. We talked about on this podcast, calling the wrong plays.
Yes.
Because he was so owned by, what was it, Clemson?
Yeah. Or West Virginia. West Virginia had owned him so hard that he forgot where he was and started calling plays from when he was in the NFL.
No, and, like, famously, Dan, he doesn't even eat. Before, like, he won't eat, like, 48 hours before a game, because he's, like, so neurotic. He's almost like Jared Kushner or something. He's, like, this neurotic man.
Yeah, it's just a guy I don't think should be in charge. Like,
no.
Anyway,
I think he's done great at Auburn. I can't complain. I don't know why LSU fans didn't like him, to be honest.
Gus is also a really good coach for him, just because, like, nothing ever seems to bother Gus.
Yeah.
And so just having somebody's like, all right, Kevin, calm down. Damn.
Yeah, Gus just makes faces. That's the only time I've ever seen him mad. He makes faces. So let's jump to that one now, Dan. Gus Malzahn kind of flirted with Arkansas, but it sounds like he was kind of using him to get money.
Well,
is that fair to say?
I don't think.
I mean, I think he would have taken the job if Auburn didn't offer him stuff.
I don't think it was necessarily money. I think he wanted to be assured that he's going to be like the boss hog of the new, because Jay Jacobs being gone, and him and Jay Jacobs never had the best relationship. It's now starting to come out, like Jay Jacobs. Part of why, like, Gus is always on the hot seat stuff is because Jay Jacobs was never willing to step up and give him that kind of buyout.
Well, and Jay Jacobs
that would shut that
like,
down.
Kind of like a giant pussy who, like, doesn't want to get blamed for anything.
And he's also, like, just Pat Dye's bitch boy.
Yeah.
Like, if Pat Dye tells him to jump, he goes, how high, sir?
Yeah. So yeah, but Gus gets paid, then. How much was it? $49 million?
Yeah,
it was
a goddamn shit ton.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is that, like, okay, he's got the kind of buyout where Auburn literally can't fire.
No, and I don't think they will, because, I mean, if you look at it.
And, well, that's a big.
Yeah, I know I sound like a hypocrite, Dan, but, like, really.
What are you going to do that's better?
He's one of the better Auburn coaches ever, if you really want to look at it. Like, yeah, he did win some big games, but it's because he kind of whiffed on Jeremy Johnson and Sean White. Like, if he's got a good quarterback, he's usually pretty damn good.
Yeah. And the other side of it is that. You know, I mean, he only had 1 year of head coaching experience before he took that job. There's been a little bit of, like, learning on the job for him. And it's like, do you really want to get rid of him now?
And my stand at like, Arkansas State, it wasn't even, like, a head coaching job, say, at Purdue or maybe a Power 5 conference. It was at the Fun Belt before he even got kicking.
Yeah.
So, keep him around. Because, you know what? He offers something fun. He didn't try to copy Alabama. That's my favorite.
He's been the most successful coach against Nick Saban in the conference.
Yeah, and he doesn't do it. He said, you know what, we got to do something different. And that's the and he runs a fun offense.
Yeah.
But Dan, if he did leave, I think I texted you about this. I was really hoping Lane Kiffin hired by Auburn. Just as the biggest troll coaching hire ever in Alabama.
All right, we got to get to somebody who understands Nick Saban, but is different. He can't be like everybody's in the SEC has figured out. You don't want to hire a Nick Saban clone. But it's like, all right, we gotta have somebody who's in his head. He's gotta understand him, but does something different to beat him. Lane, come on down.
Somebody who's maybe hit on his wife a couple of times.
He's fucked Miss Terry. You know that. Lane Kiffin has fucked Miss Terry.
Yeah, but how big of a disaster would Lane Kiffin at Auburn have been?
Oh my god!
You know he would have. It would have been so many scandals.
You would, you would not have gotten through a year without having major recruiting violations. The only reason
it would have been awesome.
The only reason he hasn't gotten
would have
hit,
been awesome yeah. for a year.
The only
would have been like doing like heroin for a year. Like, yeah, it's really awesome. And then you hit like that like 10th month of it, and you're like, oh shit.
Well, yeah, the reason why he's like
I've got AIDS.
The reason why he's riding high right now, Florida Atlantic, is because that conference is so brutally busted up and shitty. That like nobody's
the second winningest coach ever at Florida Atlantic now.
Well,
they have 10 wins.
I mean, they've only had 3 coaches, haven't they? They've had 4 because Bo Pelini's brother got fired in the middle of his like second season for testing positive for cocaine.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you coach at FAU, you should be allowed to do all the cocaine.
But I mean, that
is that fair to
like here's what FAU is famous for. They're the place that gave Lane Kiffin a head coaching job. They once tried to get a private prison as their stadium sponsor until the students at the school said, no, we'll protest this. They gave Howard Schnellenberger his first coaching job after he was fired from Oklahoma for showing up to his office drunk. And they gave Bo Pelini's brother a job, and then he had to fire him because he showed up high as a fucking kite almost
so
every day.
So FAU, you know what? I like FAU, Dan, though. This is the program. I don't want to use this term too much, but this is a program that fucks. They get around. but, you know, I mentioned Arkansas. Arkansas just hired a coach. Take us through what's kind of going on now with Chad Morris coming there. Kind of like their, what, third, second option there?
Yeah, obviously they wanted Gus. They would have gotten Gus if Auburn didn't step up. Like, there's some people who acted like they were delusional for trying to get Gus. If Auburn had not stepped up and made it clear to Gus that they wanted to keep him, and I think the other thing is Auburn stepped up and told Gus they were going to let him help pick the next athletic director. If Auburn had not done that, he would have gone back to Arkansas. And anybody who tells you different is full of crap. So Arkansas almost got their guy. Like let's not like act like you know Arkansas is just these delusional idiots. Their second choice was Mark.
They are delusional idiots, but not about this.
Well, just because you're delusional doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing.
Well, let's not pretend like they're not idiots. They do live in Arkansas.
Everybody's an idiot. I mean, their second choice was Norvell, who turned him down to stay at Memphis because Memphis gave him an ungodly high contract for Memphis.
We'll talk about that in a second, but yeah.
Memphis has never spent like that on football, so.
Yeah, I guess FedEx is just rolling in the money. I guess when basketball, though, sucks that bad. Gotta do something.
Yeah, and it's I think in some ways the Memphis athletic department is responding to the fact that the Grizzlies have moved past the Tigers in that city for basketball.
Well, no, not even just that program. So bad. Damn, they had to come back to beat Samford the other day.
Well, it's
in front of 2,000 people.
Yeah, it's just like, and if you just like culturally, and I've been to Memphis a couple times. You go there, and all the young people are Grizzly fans. You never see shit about the Memphis Tigers basketball, but Memphis Tigers football. They love it because they don't have football. Like, they have nothing else to compete with in Memphis. So, like, Memphis football is definitely picking up in the world, and Memphis basketball's definitely moved down in the world. So, you know, we might be living in this strange world where Memphis is a football school now. So, you know, that's a new world. Memphis can afford to keep a good coach.
Yeah, but let's talk.
And so,
Arkansas
is getting Chad Morris, which is basically like Sam's choice, Gus Malzahn. Because they run the same offense. Like, they even have the same, like, nomenclature. Like, they call the receivers the same, you know, they use the same numbering system for their receivers. Like, everything is basically the exact same. They both came up through the high school ranks. They're both high school head coaches. Obviously, Gus was in Arkansas. Chad Morris was in the state of Texas. They both coached at Tulsa. That was, Obviously, Gus had that weird 1 year with Arkansas as an offensive coordinator where him and Houston Nutt didn't really get along and he wasn't really allowed to run his offense. After that, Gus Malzahn's first real job as a coordinator where he was allowed to do his offense was at Tulsa. When he left Tulsa to go to Auburn, who replaced him? Chad Morris replaced him and ran basically the same system. And then, Gus Malzahn made his name as the Auburn offensive coordinator. Chad Morris made his name as the Clemson offensive coordinator and was a big part of Clemson getting over that hump and becoming a major program. He's been at SMU. When you look at his win-loss record, it's not fantastic. But I think, the SMU program he took over was completely rotted out and terrible. So he took over a god-awful program.
Well, Dan, if June Jones can't win there...
June Jones had, checked out, 2 years before he finally quit. Like, when June Jones first got there, he was really excited. And I think when you look at June Jones' time at SMU... His first couple of years there, he was really, really good, and he came up for the Arizona job, was actually hired by their athletic director, and then the boosters had a revolt and got the hire overturned by the school president, and June Jones had to go back to SMU with his tail between his legs, having accepted a job somewhere else, and it was never the same. You know, he didn't seem like he wanted to be there anymore. He had a difficult time getting kids to come, and... You know, it was just all downhill from there. And so the SMU programs, he built it up and then it immediately crashed back down after the Arizona State debacle. And, Chad Morris took that thing over. He's had to rebuild that roster from the ground up. And here's the thing. Arkansas is getting a guy where if he had stayed at SMU, SMU was going to be the hot team next year. SMU [S2] Yeah. [S1] Under Chad Morris was probably going to win 10 or 11 games. He was going to be the hot coach everybody wanted. And Arkansas, instead of waiting for that to happen and going, well, we need more proof, they said, to hell with that, and they jumped on him, and they got him. And he is the perfect guy for Arkansas. He is a guy with ties to – if you're drawing up a coach to be the head coach at Arkansas, Chad Morris is exactly the guy you draw up because
– No, well, Dan, I want to go into this for a second. Yeah, he's got the pipelines in the right places. But more importantly, he's going to run a different offense.
Yes.
And that's the key to winning at Arkansas. You don't – do what Brent Malemia did.
Yeah, it was basically trying to be Alabama light.
Yeah, you can't do that shit because you can't get the talent out of them. Two or three schools can really do that in the SEC. One's Alabama, the other one's probably Georgia if they get it right. They can kind of do it because of the talent.
Yeah, and LSU. And that's it.
And LSU, yeah.
Florida can't even do it. Florida tried.
Florida can't do it. You got to run something different. You got to do kind of the Gus thing. Smart move, Arkansas.
It's just so.
Did Jerry Jones like this hire though, Dan? That's the.
I think so because he is somebody that Jerry Jones has heard of because he's in Dallas, which it seems to be all Jerry Jones cares about is has he heard of the guy?
He's not a black guy. That's the big thing for Jerry.
Yes, he's not a black guy and he's heard of him. Look at it like
last words on Arkansas hire before we jump to it.
It's just such a perfect hire because Arkansas. Arkansas traditionally has to be successful. They have to pull kids out of Texas, especially Dallas. They got to pull kids out of the Metroplex. Well, Chad Morris is a high school coaching legend in the state of Texas. He's going to be able to get kids, and he's going to be able to get high school coaches in Texas to sort of push kids in his direction.
Yeah, he's got friends.
And he spent years recruiting in the Southeast with Clemson. He's got years of ties to Florida and to Georgia and to, the Carolinas. And to the Tidewater region in Virginia. He's got ties all over everywhere that Arkansas needs to be successful. And he's going to run an offense that, we talk about this all the time when we've talked about this with Nebraska. We talked about it with a few other schools. Like, if you're a school in a state that does not have a huge population and doesn't produce a ton of talent, you need to run a system that the high schools in your state are going to want to run so that while they don't have the population, they're all going to be kids running what you run. So you can pull up kids.
I just want to quickly move, though. I want to talk about two more hires before we kind of jump to our next segment. Let's stay in the South. Let's jump to Texas A&M. How weirded out do you think Jimbo Fisher was when he got to Texas A&M?
He looked
terrified.
When
that girl tried to do the stupid saw thing, you saw the look on his face, and you thought, what the fuck did I just do? It's like he's just going to the wrong church. That's the way, like, and like he just moved to the town, went to the church, and like they're singing, and everybody's throwing their hands everywhere, and he's like, God damn it. Fucking snake handler. That was my dad once, Dan. We took him to the praise and worship service, because like you didn't have to dress up. He hated it. My dad's not even like the most religious man in the world. But he's like, no, church should be just sitting there. You're wearing a stupid suit. Don't wave your hands in the air like a faggot. So he didn't like that. That's kind of how I felt Jimbo Fisher felt when he got to Texas A&M.
Hey.
It goes, what the fuck? I mean, I know he just got paid, but he had to think, I got to be surrounded by these idiots.
Look, I think this is going to end up being the biggest fandango in the history of college football. Because I look at Jimbo Fisher, and I look at a guy who has not had the same drive in years now. Ever since they won that national championship, I have not seen the same kind of energy out of Jimbo. You know, they had a really good offense the year before this year, but a lot of that was just Cook, you know, just carrying their offense. I think Texas A&M's made a huge mistake. I think they've given a ton of money to a guy that does not have the same drive.
A lot of success, too, was just Jameis Winston was an incredible college football player.
Yeah, and we've seen for a couple of years in a row now, Florida State's offensive lines have been shitty. And this is something I've talked about earlier in the year. People who want to be pro-style in college football are running into a problem of not being able to develop the linemen to make that work, especially when it comes to trying to throw the football. They just, like, you drop back and your line are just completely overwhelmed because trying to sit back there and throw these, like, you know, seven-step drops, deep post routes, like, you can't do it because you don't have the run. If you're not a team that primarily runs the ball out of the shotgun, when you drop back into the shotgun to try to pass, defensive ends are just running you down. They're just pinning their ears back and coming straight at you, and you just don't have the time to make that shit
work.
Yeah,
well, Dan, you don't even see, like, we call it pro style. I mean, when you kind of look at it, most pro teams kind of run out of the shotgun now at this point.
Yeah, when you look at the pros, they all look like 2000 Purdue. Like, it's everybody just looks like it's Drew Brees running the Purdue offense now, and that's NFL
offense.
Like,
most teams tend to run out of the shotgun or pistol. Not a lot of under center, you know, like, they still run under center a lot. But it's not. It's just a different pro style than what you would see at FSU.
When you look at the pro style offense, it's just a lot of short passes and using like fake screens to set up play action throws now.
Yeah, Dan. But I want to move. I agree, though. I think this will be a major disaster for A&M. But I want to jump now.
I think
to talk about another school.
I think Florida State got a better hire. I think they upgraded their coaching position.
I don't know anything about Willie Taggart except he's a black guy. So I think it'll be really well at FSU.
I got to talk about Willie Taggart because I love him.
Okay.
Willie Taggart he played quarterback for Western Kentucky for Jim Harbaugh's dad, Jack Harbaugh. He ended up being an assistant coach for Jack Harbaugh at Western Kentucky. He went and joined Jim Harbaugh at his Stanford staff where he was the quarterback's coach there. When he got a head coaching job at his alma mater at Western Kentucky, he was like straight up, we're just going to be Stanford. I mean, like 17 tight ends, you know, 47 linemen on the field at the same time. And it worked. Western Kentucky had winning seasons, and he ended up getting the South Florida job. He went to South Florida, tried to do that Stanford stuff, and found out what the University of Florida has found out. And said, you can't get the linemen to make that work in the state of Florida.
Yeah, all the thugs in Florida don't have any discipline.
So he then switched it up and went to a spread offense that uses a lot of power blocking. You know, gap-based running, but out of the shotgun. And so they basically just he took what he knew and adapted it to run in a spread environment, which I love.
Yeah, which is what smart coaches tend to do.
He recruits like nobody else. The level of talent he brought to South Florida compared to the rest of Group of Five, South Florida was so loaded with talent that they could have competed in the Big 12. For like second or third place. They couldn't have beat Oklahoma, but they had enough talent to beat a lot of teams in a lot of conferences.
You mentioned not the Big 12. I want to talk about a team that is big. It does have 12 teams. A conference, that is. Just got a new coach. Scott Frost was announced on Saturday during
his championship game.
Yes. I'm sure he was really happy about that one. I think, I'll say it right now, as bad as that division is, I think Nebraska's in the Big Ten championship game in like 2 to 3 years.
I think it'll be less than 2 years. Or less than 3 years. I think they're going to make it.
I was being a little conservative there.
Yeah. I think there's a shot, you know, because they have obviously more talent in the cupboard than Central Florida had when he got there. They could make it next year. Like, that's how good a coach Scott
Frost is. How good is, like, you think this is going to turn Nebraska, like, because I feel like when we talk about turning these programs around, and, like, it's almost, we talked about it before, it's almost impossible to really turn Notre Dame around. It's not impossible to really turn Nebraska around.
Yeah.
And more importantly, when you're at, like, a Nebraska, you can kind of get in some, like, maybe even some problem transfers. Yes. And kind of hide away.
Yes, Nebraska does not have the same academic requirements that, like, a place like Notre Dame
does. Well, and they don't have, like, a media. I don't think they even let you read there.
No, they don't have the same media scrutiny on stuff like that because the media are all homers. That team is going to be crazy good, and I don't think anybody in the Big Ten is ready for what's going to be coming at.
No, I think we're gonna all hate Scott Frost. In like
yeah, this is playing out exactly like when Jim Harbaugh came to Michigan, where it's like the first when it was first announced in that first year, even people were excited that Michigan wasn't shitty anymore because I think in college football we all kind of like for the Blue Bloods to be good because we want to enjoy beating them. We want Michigan
to watch them fall.
We want to see Michigan good enough that when they lose to Michigan State, it's really fucking funny. Like, we don't like it when Michigan goes 6-6 because that's not enjoyable.
We want Michigan to be, like, undefeated and lose to Michigan State on, like, a punt.
That's what we want. And we want to see Ohio State be really good and then get blown out by Iowa and lose their shot at the national championship. We want to see Alabama win 10 or 11 games and then Auburn kick their teeth in. That's what we want. We don't want to see Nebraska going 5-7 and losing to, like, Northern Illinois.
No. Well, I think the other thing, too, is that we want to see Nebraska run at least a fun offense.
We want to, you know, there's a thing Brian over at MGO Blog says where it's like, it is un-American for Nebraska not to be using a running quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that is fundamentally, like, that is a sign that college football has strayed from the path of God that Nebraska doesn't have a running quarterback. So we're gonna
We're gonna have that again, Dan. I'm really excited. What did we agree to talk about? I think we agreed to talk about something in our third act, but I think we may have talked about it already.
We're gonna talk about the playoff.
The playoff. I want to do a light. We're gonna deep dive in the playoffs in a couple of weeks, but we gotta save some content. We can't like lose our load now. So let's just talk about who's in there, but let's more talk about the controversy of who's out.
Sure.
So number one's Clemson. Number two, Georgia? Oklahoma?
Number two is Oklahoma.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Two and three are Georgia and Oklahoma. Number four is Alabama. Left out would be Ohio State, USC, and my boys, UCF. Those are probably like the three teams that most people are talking about that were left out.
Yes. I think ultimately the... Do you really think the playoff committee screwed up that bad? Like, where do you fall?
I think it's fine. I don't like the idea, but I like when it's just one versus two. I wouldn't have minded it to be fucking Clemson and Oklahoma, or Clemson and Georgia.
I hated the BCS because of this exact scenario. Almost every year it's three teams and not two. And it's almost never four teams, though, which is why I am so vehemently against the idea of making the playoff bigger. Because, I mean, look. Just look at this thing. You're really sitting here trying to tell me that there's really, like, eight teams deserving of being in the playoffs? We only have only have three teams who genuinely deserve to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
And we're having to pick between, like, a bunch of, like, mediocre teams to
mind,
fill
though,
out the
like,
fourth
–
to find a fourth team.
I think – the only thing, Dan, is, like, if you went six, I'd like to at least be one of those be, like, the best team from the group of five.
But that'll never happen. Like,
no, but that's how it should. If you did it, that's how I would do it.
Yeah, and I would be totally fine with that.
Yeah, and one and two get a bye, and then, you know, the other teams play, and then you do shit, whatever.
So here's my other reason why I don't like at making the playoffs larger is because everybody's reasoning for making the playoff larger is to do things that will never actually happen. Like, it's like people who talk to themselves into voting for Donald Trump. They made up a Donald Trump.
Are people, Dan, who talk themselves into getting married?
Yeah, they talk themselves into somebody who doesn't actually exist. And the scenarios of we're going to make the playoff bigger so that, you know, Central Florida has a chance to be in it, they'll just make Central Florida 15.
Florida's never going to get it.
Like, they're never going to allow teams like that into the playoff. Ever. Ever. They will always fuck those teams. Okay? That's just the reality.
No, it's kind of like almost like when, like, there's some weird college program that's like, oh, we're going to let in 2,000 more people, and they just, like, let in, like, a bunch of mediocre white people. Or something, you know what I mean? Like, we're still going
to
fuck
like, yeah, like, yeah, if you forced every college in America to add 2,000 students because you're like, well, now they'll be forced to take more lower income.
No, they just take, like, more dumbass.
Yeah, they just take more fail sons. Like, that's all they'll do.
Like, just have more politicians' kids. If Harvard said, we're going to have 3,000 people, it would all just be, like, retarded rich people.
Like, yeah, people who could not, like, again, who could not find their way out of a bathroom. So, like,
it would be Derek Dooley would have gotten.
Like, Derek Dooley would go to Harvard. Like, that sounds like an Ernest type movie. Derek Dooley goes to Harvard.
I would watch a movie where Derek Dooley and, like, Jared Kushner, like,
they fuck.
School together. They fuck. Like, they kiss at the end.
Sure.
But I don't mind the play. You know what? I don't mind, like, the fourth team always being weird because I'd like them to take more chances, though. I wish they would have put in UCF. Who the fuck cares? Clemson's going to blow out whoever they play it for. Whether it's Ohio State, Wisconsin, Alabama, Georgia, whomever. They're going to beat the shit out of them. Just put in a UCF. Let's see what happens.
I mean, that.
You know, Navy's undefeated. Navy was undefeated. Let's throw in Navy. Who gives
shouldn't
a fuck?
That tell that. Everybody that you're never going to get a team like that in? Because this was the year it could have happened. You know, like, they've got Central Florida sitting there undefeated.
I think Tom Fornelli kind of made the best case, which is, like, you'd have to go undefeated for 2 years.
Yeah, you would. You would. I mean, and Houston almost did it. Like, Houston was the only team that had that scenario.
Yeah. But if UCF, for whatever reason, goes undefeated next year, put them in.
Yeah.
But I think they lose in the bowl game because they're actually going to play a good team.
And they're not going to have their coach anymore. So, you know, it gets back to that. I'm not a big believer in six games because if you go any higher than four, then you're going to have to cut out a week of the regular season. And guess what, folks? They're not going to cut out the Troy game. Like, they're not going to cut out the Samford game. They're going to cut out a good out-of-conference game that you don't want to really lose. Like, that's going to be what they get rid of. Like, they're going to, like, instead of Oklahoma playing Florida State or Oklahoma playing Ohio State, like, you'll just, you'll lose that game and you'll still get the Samford game. And that's what you'll give up to get an extra round of the playoffs. And is that really worth it? I don't think it is. I just think more often than not, four is the right number because it lets you get at least three teams in, which is the real issue. Like, you need at least three.
Four is like a nice – it's a prime number, right? Is four a prime number?
No, a prime number is a number that can only be divided by itself into one.
It should be a prime number for the playoffs.
Well, that doesn't work. Like, what are you going to do, have two and three play each other?
Yeah.
And then one gets a bye?
Yeah. Who cares? Why not?
I mean, you could do that. I mean, I'd be okay with it, but I think...
Well, what else? Seven's a prime number.
Well, seven's a terrible idea.
Five.
Okay, that's a worse idea. You can't do that. But
what do we put in half a team?
Sure. Alabama special teams are allowed and nothing else, because that's the only thing that's any good.
I'd watch that. You know what? I wish they would do that, where Alabama could only use their special teams players when they played, like, Memphis. I'd watch that game.
I mean,
that's my new bowl. That'll be the half-guarded bowl.
Just some weird you shit.
You can only use your preferred walk-ons.
I love it.
I'd watch that. Yeah. Though. Watch the fuck out of that. You kidding me?
See, this gets back to what's the real problem. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, God, the conference. The dumbest person you know is going to be talking about an ESPN conspiracy. ESPN did not want Ohio State to get left out. Okay? I can tell you that right now. If ESPN had a voice in all this, they would have left Alabama out 10 times out of 10 for Ohio State. Because Alabama, like, they've already got Clemson in the game. Alabama geographically is just adding.
And Georgia.
Yeah, they've already got Georgia and Clemson. Adding Alabama, you've literally just got the same geographic area.
When you look at it, this is four, like, all red state teams. This is four, like, all teams below the Mason-Dixon, more or less. Oklahoma, I'm going to count Oklahoma as a southern.
I mean, Oklahoma's more of the Texas market, but yeah, it's the Texas.
It's still like people who don't have any money.
It's a Texas market, and then the Southeast. And yeah, if Georgia wasn't in it, would they rather swap Georgia out for Alabama? If you're just talking about TV companies like booking the thing, Yeah, they'd rather have Alabama than Georgia, but that doesn't mean they don't want Ohio State. Ohio State's one of the biggest TV movers in the country.
No, they, you think like, if it was a conspiracy, Dan, they really would have put in, like, USC.
Yeah, if it was a conspiracy, they would have made sure Ohio State or USC got
it. Because the Rose Bowl, who knows if it sells out, it would if USC was playing there.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is going to have some difficulty moving tickets because you got teams traveling way far away, and all of their alumni are going to be sitting there
thinking they're saving money
for the national championship.
I was, like, talking to my dad, Dan, and he said, like, the tickets are, like, nothing for the Rose Bowl. He's like, it costs more to fly out there from Georgia than it is to buy tickets. But cheaper, I think he said cheaper in the SEC championship.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because everybody now is – what we've seen from the playoff is when it comes to tickets, everybody who's in the playoff saves their money for the national championship.
Yeah.
And so, like, the reality is they should not be doing these bowl games as part of the playoff. And I think long-term, they won't. I think what you'll see is they'll – when they first did the BCS, if you remember, they made one of the major bowls the BCS championship game. Yeah. And that lasted a couple years before they just said, to hell with that, and they added a national championship game, and the bowls went back to just being the bowls. I think what we're going to end up seeing is that they're going to dump this using bowls as the playoff games and start doing the playoff games inside on campuses, because they'll be able to sell tickets.
That'd be way more fun, though.
It would be more interesting. Like, say you got Wisconsin and Alabama into the playoff game. Like, say Michigan State and Alabama that year. You know, say if you got a scenario where, like, Alabama had to go play in a Big Ten environment in the cold.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that'd be really cool. Suddenly, that other team would have a chance.
Or you get, like, Alabama going. When's the last time Alabama's played in Clemson? How cool would that be?
Yeah.
How cool would it be to watch George, you know, Oklahoma come to Samford or Georgia go? Like, they've never played each other before. How cool would that be?
And suddenly the seeding would matter. Because getting that home game would mean so damn much.
No, it would make the regular. Actually, Dan, that's a great proposal. Because also it would make the regular season more important. So you know what? Let's email who's the president of the NCAA.
The NCAA has no jurisdiction over this. This is the conference you got to talk to. But I think ultimately the bowl organizers, like the Rose Bowl, is only going to put up with this so many. And here's the other thing: we've already seen this. Like, there's a lot of pressure from ESPN to move the playoff games, to move the Rose Bowl when it doesn't have a playoff game, so that they can put the playoffs on a Saturday when you can actually see it. And the Rose Bowl has been resistant to that because they don't want to, like, they want to always be on New Year's Day. So it's going to end up being easier to just put the playoffs on whatever day, like the playoff games on whatever day is best, and then you don't have to fuck around with the Rose Bowl.
Then like more teams, and you know what makes a lot of sense, because then more teams get to go to cool bowls, get more money, and that's what it's about. Get money, and
ultimately,
laid, doing drugs.
Right now, the Rose Bowl was nervous that they wouldn't matter, you know, if the playoff came in, but ultimately, like, if the Rose Bowl can't sell tickets because they're having to sell tickets for, you know, Oklahoma and Georgia, who, you know, nobody there's in L.A., like, what would you rather do?
Well, Todd Gurley is, Dan. That's not fair.
You know, it just makes way more sense to do that. But the other thing that really needs to happen, this is my proposal, because we'll talk about the ins and outs of the playoffs at another time. But what really, I think, has to happen is this year has proven once and for all that the conference have to ditch the divisions. Because what we have now seen 2 years in a row is that the playoff committee doesn't give a shit who won their conferences. And the reason is because 2 years in a row, we've had conference championship games where the best two teams in the conference weren't playing each other. And so the committee just sort of ignored it. The reality is the best two teams in the SEC this year were Alabama and Auburn. And yeah, they played, and on the field, Auburn won it. But Auburn and Georgia also played on the field, and Auburn won that too. So either way, you were getting a rematch, and ultimately, I don't think there's anybody who's watched Georgia and Alabama play this year who thinks Georgia's better than them. Now, Georgia did what they had to do to get into the playoff, but I think everybody in the deep, dark recesses of their mind realizes that Georgia is going to
kicked out of them. Well, think about this. Let me play devil's advocate. If you're a Georgia fan, maybe you had to go and play LSU and you beat them. Then you can say, hey, our team is – we beat the same teams Auburn and Alabama did. We are a good team. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
you know, if you're a Georgia, they can. It's kind of like even a thing they can come back with. It works in everyone's favor.
It's been like 25 years of having conferences.
No, and all you have to do, Dan, with these things is just set like two games in stone for the SEC at least. You know, like Auburn and Georgia should play every year. Obviously, Alabama, Auburn should play every year.
Yeah, and Auburn and Tennessee, Alabama, Tennessee have to play every year. Like those are the three rivalries that anybody.
Georgia, Florida.
So the reality is how this would work is you would just you would dump the divisions and have like three teams that you play every year protected, and then the rest of your schedule just rotates, and so you play. And so going into the year, you know, obviously you'll have some years like Iowa a few years ago where they. You know, they came out of nowhere. They went from 7-5 to 12-0. You'll always have teams like that that nobody saw coming. But what you could do more often than that is to go before the season starts and you just go, okay, who are our best teams? And let's make sure they all play each other.
Yeah.
And then, you just match your teams up and then you make sure that when you get to the end of the year, you pick the two best records and you make them play each other. And that way,
I like that. I like the proposal, Dan, but I want to move on to something else I like a little bit more. Talking Army versus Navy. 3:00 on CBS. Navy's favored by 3 in beautiful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Let's talk about this game. Both these teams are, like, bowl eligible this year, which is kind of a trend now, I guess. That's just what we're doing. How excited are you for Army Navy? I'm hyped to watch this game on Saturday. I don't know
about you. This is the first year since that Army is going into that game having won the year before. So, you know, how does Navy respond to losing the streak last year? Can Army win 2 in a row? That's the big – and, you know, Army, it's not – it's one of the worst-kept secrets in college football that Army is sort of preparing to move into a conference, either a Conference USA or – you know, that's one thing we need to talk about at some point. Conference USA looks like it's about to implode and not exist anymore. But, you know, Army is starting to dip their toe into maybe joining a conference in the next 5 years. So, and Army's program has been getting better every year, and they're almost ready to do that. And one of the ways that they judge themselves is how do they stack up against Navy? Because Army's schedule, what they've been doing the last few years, is scheduling a lot of teams that are not in the FBS level. They schedule a lot of, like, Northeast FCS schools, and they've been starting to wean themselves off of that and schedule more FBS teams, and they're starting to think, hey, we can maybe compete. And,
I want to jump to the thing most people care about. Is Trump going to be at the game? He was there last year.
He was.
He kissed Gary Danielson, and he made out with Vern Lundquist. Do you think he'll be here this year?
I think he will, because I think it's Philadelphia.
You think he'll be in the booth, though.
You know, it's a place. Is there a golf course near there? He probably will be.
You can't play golf. It's too cold. It's going to be, like, snowing everywhere this weekend. Ooh, what if the Army-Navy game? It's supposed to snow here in Georgia, I assume, in Philadelphia, it'll snow. What if that game's in snow? How cool would that be? Last year, I think it was, like, freezing cold rain for that game.
Yeah, I mean, one of the fun things about watching the Army-Navy game, actually, is because both teams run the same triple-option offense, is they break out weird shit for each other. Because they know, both teams know exactly what they're going to do. Shit, Jeff Munkin and Ken Niumatalolo were on the same coaching staffs with Paul Johnson. Like, there's nothing that they do on a, you know, from week to week that the other doesn't know. So, like, a few years ago, I remember Army, like, Navy just started running the run and shoot. Like, just straight up, like, lined up in 4 wide almost every play. And they motioned and ran a little bit of triple option out of it. But they just started slinging the ball all over the field. And Army was like, wait, what the hell? You know, that happens a lot in these games where they'll just break out some real, real weird-ass shit.
Well, Dan, my main point here, though, is you think the deep state. The deep state. Deep State will be involved in this game.
Well, I think the reptilians have definitely staked out their claim. And, when you're looking over there at those coaching sidelines, don't blink or else you'll miss them turn.
Yeah. Mind control, laser beams, the option, Army-Navy, bitch. Let's do it. Who are you taking this one? I'm taking the Army. Unless it rains, I'm going to take the Navy because they're better at water.
Go Navy, beat Army. Always. Every year. Go Navy, beat Army.
You know who I'm taking? I'm taking ISIS.
This is a Navy household. I'm recording this podcast from.
I'm taking Iran. to win the game. I don't know.
That is hard. That is the new young leftist thing.
Yeah, got to be really into Iran. They're really cool. Actually, I think Iran gets a bum rap, I'll be honest. I don't think they're perfect, like some people, but let's probably be edited out.
Yeah, we'll just edit that.
But you know what? No, you know, fuck that. Because you know what? Iran, we fucked over Iran so much, Dan. I'm so sorry that this they don't like us.
Imagine somebody listening who like waited all show for us to talk about Army Navy. Like in their platoon or whatever they do in the military. We're like,
and I'm like, Iran's gonna kick your ass.
They're gonna hunt us down now.
But yeah, Iran, really. I mean, go read up on the millennial games. They would kick our ass. Dan, before we get out of here, anything else? You got a fuck you of the week? Anything fun?
I got a fuck you of the week to Iran because I got to counterbalance you now. So fuck you, Iran.
Fuck you of the week to all the infidels. Fuck you to the Israel, the Jews, the Christians, everybody. Praise Allah. Go Iran. Beat Army and Navy.
You just got us on a list. And on that,
I'm on a list, Dan. Got you on the list. You're on the list. You're on the list with me now.
Yeah.
So I don't use our real name.
Yeah. Kayfabe. These are our real names.
Dan's real name is Gaylord Faggy. It's a French name.
Okay, I gotta go before I urinate on myself. With that said, this is Gaylord Faggy signing out and saying, play the music, Jason.
Oui, oui.